I mean, what a fun song, right? But I must ask, do we really have the power? I don't know. We'll find out. My name is Crystal. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I am finding victory over relationship addiction and still struggling with selfishness and control. Let me pray, and then we'll get into the lovely lesson on powerless. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to teach tonight and to impart your truth to me and to your children in this room. And thank you for everyone here. I pray that you will just have everyone get a nugget or two of truth from this lesson, and pray that we will find you tonight. Thank you for the amazing worship, and Lord, I do thank you that if we don't change at all right now, that it is well with our soul if we know you, that we are free in you, and I pray that we will just grasp onto that in the midst of our struggles. In Jesus' name, amen. I am not feeling well, so this will be good. This will be good, but okay. Principle one says, let's say together, realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. And step one, admitted, we're powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors that our lives become unmanageable. Powerless. Think about that word. Feel what feelings, what emotions, what thoughts come to mind when you hear the word powerless? And if a few of you would like, I would love to have you just call out some of those words that you... Hey, no control,
frustration,
no hope, anger, defeated, weak. Mm-hmm. Good. Those were a few of the ones that I put. I had inadequate, worthless, unmotivated, hopeless, useless. I don't know about you, but I do not like feeling powerless. It's embarrassing, and I want to believe I am strong enough to conquer what I want on my own. So I ran Hood to Coast this year, and on my second leg, I was in excruciating pain. My teammate met me out on the trail and asked if I wanted someone to finish my leg. As I was pushing in my hip to relieve the pain, tears streaming down my cheeks as I'm limping, I told him, heck no, I am going to finish this. Whether I'm crawling or I'm finishing this leg. I was so prideful, I didn't even thank him for the kind gesture. I didn't want to look like a failure. And when he got back in the van, just to prove the point, I started running. Well, I did finish my leg, but as a result of me forcing myself to run it out and finish, I gained not only hip pain, knee pain, but foot pain as well. I was willing to take another injury just to show I could finish. Isn't that just like life? When we think, oh, I can endure another week of this relationship. I know he or she will change and be nicer to me, only to end up compromising your virginity. Or you think you can handle one more drink with your friends, which ends up being a few more, and maybe a DUI at the end of the night. We really do have good intentions, don't we? But intentions don't break the cycle of power. It's only when we realize we are powerless to control our tendencies to do the wrong thing, and we recognize who is the only one ultimately powerful enough to control those same tendencies, will we be victorious. And that person is Jesus, and the only reason we are able to be victorious is because he took our sin and our destructive habits on him, the weight of every human sin, to the cross. Through his precious blood shed for us, he was crucified with them and raised a new life, and that is the life that he offers us. So how are you guys doing? Are you still struggling with your addictions? Or are you finally ready to give Jesus a try? Or are we still content to live in our vicious cycle? What have you lost because of your lust for power? Have you lost enough yet? Well, I'm assuming all of us wouldn't be here if we weren't willing to finally try a different way. We are ready to shed some of our pride and let God and others walk alongside of us in our journey to be powerless so God can show his power in our weakness. My dad gave me a book, and the book is called Flawed by Design. And I was like, that's weird. But this author, Martin Zender, and I'm going to quote him a couple times in here, really enjoy his book, Flawed by Design. He says, "We don't conquer by walking a trouble-free life or getting everything we want. We conquer by looking to him who conquered sin and death on our behalf." 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "Whenever I may be weak, then I am powerful." So are you weak? Then you are powerful. So it's a good thing to be weak. Right? It's hard to believe. So let's check out our acrostic to help us understand how to practice being powerless in order for God to be powerful in us. The P is for pride. When we decide to become powerless, we see we no longer are trapped by our pride. Proverbs 29:23 says, "Pride ends in a fall, while humility brings honor." Our arrogant attitudes of, "I got this by myself, I don't need anyone to help me or guide me, walk with me, provide constructive criticism, pray with me, or just sit with me in my mess," always ends in failure and in the same destructive cycle that we so desperately want to be free from. Again, in Martin Zender's book, Flawed by Design, he says, "God is always allowing matters to be humanly impossible first so that he can set up what he is going to do later." This is so true. God allows us to fail as many times as needed until we finally get to the place of utter surrender and in humility say, "I finally give up." 1 Peter 5:5 says, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." Humility is the first step in recognizing who has the power to overcome our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. It is an invitation to join God. The next letter is O. Only if, or if only. If only I hadn't allowed him a second chance in my life. If only I had told him no and was strong enough to follow through. If only my dad were a better father. If only this, if only that. When we are trapped by if onlys or only ifs, we make excuses and blame others for our negative, destructive actions that we feel validated to indulge in. If only my boyfriend hadn't broke up with me, I wouldn't be sitting on the couch eating a pizza and a whole pint of ice cream by myself. Done that. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the hurt and pain that others have caused us, but living in that frame of mind keeps us staying stuck in rationalizing the destructive actions we do as a result of that pain. When we admit we are powerless, we start walking in the truth rather than living in fantasy land of rationalization. We can realize that we are actually giving more power to those people who have hurt us by continuing to hurt ourselves, by overeating, drinking, looking at porn, lashing out in anger. I spent 10 years in bondage, believing that my sin and the sin of others was too much for God to redeem. So I began to indulge in more destructive behaviors. When I finally stopped beating myself up and realized how powerless I was and forced myself to see God for who he truly was, I started to believe I was actually still worth his best and could start the healing process. I realized I didn't have to live under the enemy's control, and you don't have to either. I didn't think I was worth better, but God died on the cross for better. There's freedom in his blood, and that blood was shed for our freedom. So dang it, believe it, and let's live it. The next letter is W for worry. Matthew 6:34. Give your attention, and this might be a different, it's the same verse, so you can keep it up there, but I forget which translation this came out of, but I really like this translation. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. All worry is a form of not trusting God. When we are worrying, we are not trusting God. It's impossible to do both at the same time. So which are you going to focus on, trusting God or the worry? Stay focused on what God can do. As we work through these steps, we will gain tools to help us know how to start trusting God and not worry. Some tools I have learned are to keep coming back on Wednesday. This time is a time of renewal, centering your mind, your heart, and your soul in corporate worship with others of the same mind to worship God. In our small groups, we get to listen as well as share what our worries are, get them out in the light so we can gain strength from Jesus and others through accountability, empathy, a smile, just knowing you're not alone lessens the level of worry. There's a sense of relief. The enemy wants us to think we're the only ones struggling with anything and that everyone else is perfect. Serving is another way to help take your mind off of your issues and stop worrying about them. When we focus on giving of our talents and gifts for God and others, we become blessed as we are being a blessing to whomever we are serving. The next letter is E for escape. We've tried to escape by doing the unhealthy things that have brought us here. Trying to escape drains us of our energy. God's power is our only path. Ephesians 5:13 through 14, and this is from the English Standard Version. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So instead of escaping, let's run to Jesus. R is for resentments. The Internet Dictionary definition is feeling or expressing bitterness or indignation at having been treated unfairly. When someone has hurt us, it causes a reaction on our part. Some of us suppress our negative feelings, which only causes them to fester inside of us. It's like an emotional cancer. Or we lash out in anger. Or we do both. In CR, you will learn to let go of resentment by offering forgiveness. You won't just free them. More importantly, you will free yourself. Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. The next letter is L. This might be one of the longest lessons. Good job, guys. Loneliness. Loneliness is truly a choice. It is easy to hide away when we are stuck in our struggles. It's hard to reach out, especially when you feel like no one will understand you. Well, this is what CR is all about and why we have small groups and large group and even dinner beforehand. We are a place to come as you are, in the middle of your sin, in the middle of your hurt. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Before I came to CR, I didn't have close girlfriends who I could share my sins with. But now, two of my best friends have come out of CR. Being in small group and in step study has helped us grow and learn that we can trust each other because we desire to lead each other to Christ and grow in honesty and unconditional love. We are not perfect, so there have been times where we've had to make amends and ask for forgiveness. But it has been a great journey, and we are still really good friends to this day. This may be your first time, your first night at CR. You have taken the first step in the midst of your sin to risk being known, to open up your heart first to God and to others. I hope that you find this place to be as safe as I have, and as well as many others who have been here for years. Freedom is waiting around the corner, and I can't wait for you to begin to embrace it. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." The next letter is E for emptiness. When we truly admit we are powerless, the emptiness we try to fill with our destructive habits becomes a place where we begin to let Jesus fill us with his presence, his joy, and his strength. John 10:10, this is from the Message, says, "I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." More and better life than they ever dreamed of. Wow. Ever dreamed of? I mean, do we believe that? I can get so wrapped up in my mind with things that I think are so appealing in this world. I think of my struggle with self-gratification that feels so good in the moment, I believe that it's the best thing there is. It's like I get amnesia because I truly forget about the shame and the guilt and the frustration I feel afterwards. Sin blinds us from the ability to see God's best for us. Sin blinds us from the ability to see God's best for us. I truly thank Jesus for his unending grace during these times of relapse because he still loves us on those days just as much as he does when we're doing great and we actually are overcoming our habits through him. S, the first S, is selfishness. Luke 17:33 says, "Those who try to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life will save it." When we want something that God is not desiring for us, it causes problems for ourselves and our relationships with others. We all have heard the saying, "We want what we want when we want it, want, 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 want." We aren't thinking of anyone else but ourselves and how we can satisfy our fleshly desires. God's desire is for us to first desire what he wants. Matthew 6:33, and this is from the translation called God's Word. I had fun with finding different translations. It says, "But first be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval. Then all these things will be provided for you." Giving up our power requires us to start believing that the one who created us truly does know what is best for us. And so, how can you today begin to believe that truth? He knows us better than we know ourselves. The last letter is S for separation. When we admit to being powerless, we also give up separation from God. Romans 8:38-39 says, For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels, nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above or the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through who? Christ Jesus. Amen. When we reach for him, he is always there. He is so quick to respond to his children. We just need to decide to respond to him in humility so he can be powerful in us. Psalm 34:18 from the NIV says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The Message from that same verse, Psalm 34:18 says, "If your heart is broken, you'll find God here. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath." So what are you waiting for? God says that being powerless is not less. It's not less adequate, not less valuable, not less worthwhile. No, being powerless is not less. It's more. Much more of God's power, much more of his strength. Powerless is not less, but more. More of his glory, more of his power, more of his healing, and more of his victory, which ultimately ends up being our healing and our victory. So it's a win-win. So what does it look like for you to take that first step toward being powerless so that God can be powerful in you? Remember, we were created to need God. Being powerless is a good thing. Some of you are new to the faith and are still trying to grasp who this God is. So maybe your first step is simply asking God to reveal what he desires to show you about himself. Some of you have been a follower of Jesus for a long time and know about him and have followed him, but life has knocked you around and you have given into fleshly desires and bought into the lie that you could really do this life without him. Maybe it's time to remember he is still here, waiting for you to release that burden of control. Reach up for him to exchange his light burden for your heavy load. Wherever you find yourself, God has never left your side, and he is patient, but it is our choice to decide to become powerless over our desire for power so that God's power can provide the freedom we so desperately are looking for. So at this moment, I'm going to put up a couple images. The first one is of a man kneeling at Jesus' feet. This pose is one of humility. It shows that he's given up his power and allowing God to do his work. The next image is of a baby raising his hands, or her hands. And this, to me, shows that when you're raising your hands, a little baby wants to be picked up. So it's like allowing Jesus to pick you up. You're surrendering to him. If one of these postures speaks to you, I would encourage you to allow God to speak to you. And what we're going to do, and I would encourage you to stand up and move around, we're going to play a song. And I would encourage you to take that next step, whatever God is asking you to be powerless in, and allow him to be powerful in you. Just one step. It's all it takes. He does the rest. So if you want to, and I'll come back up and pray at the end.
I've been saved. Saved a wretch like me. Ooh, oh, oh, oh.
Thank you that we were able to spend some time with you, allowing you to just love us. I would encourage you to, whatever the Lord shared with you during that time, because I know he does. He desires to love you and he pursues you. Take a minute and write down what he said to you, because these are precious moments. You don't want to forget. Thank you.